Hi, this is Sean Benson from Harvest Church in Warrensburg, Missouri. I want to thank you for joining us for this week's podcast. For more resources, log on to harvestwarrensburg.com.
Do you know that Christianity is the only world religion where there was a historical figure that actually claimed to be God? You know that no other world religion has a figure that claims to be God. There are people who, after they've died and things have happened, there are those who are living who have pointed back and said, no, wait a second, I think there's something about that guy. But there has never been a historical figure outside of that of Christianity who's ever walked the earth and claimed to be God, and in the case of Jesus, who backed that up with power. I got two high fivers here. I got Brandy and I got Charles. Come on, guys. This is good news. Jesus is the way, right? He's the life. He's the truth. You know, in this Easter series, albeit perhaps somewhat unconventional, you know, we've been talking about the real Jesus. The last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the real Jesus. It was inspired from the commercial that I'm sure everybody in here saw. And if you didn't see it before, if you didn't see it at the Super Bowl, you saw it when we aired it here. A controversial commercial about Jesus or what Jesus would represent that ultimately showed people on opposite sides of issues washing one another's feet. You know, and I thought it only fitting this morning as we are kind of wrapping up our Easter series to really land on that story, to touch on it a little bit, but not to prove the point to you that we should be loving our enemies or serving those who we disagree with, but really rather to continue in the theme that we've begun. I want to show you the real Jesus. Wow, we don't have time. Holy smokes. Well, the grand experiment was an epic failure. Oh, well, Lord Jesus, help us to do this in about 3.2 minutes. We got this. As we find the story out of John chapter 13, we'll expect the Holy Spirit's going to lead me well enough to get us to the point that he has, and yet also out the door to the great, amazing, community-wide, 14 church-wide unity event, right? Such a cool thing. Such an answer to prayer in our community. So glad to be a part of it. Yeah. So John 13, there's this story. Jesus is going to celebrate the Passover, so he's coming in with his motley band of 12, you know, into Jerusalem. They secure like an Airbnb, has a nice little upper space. You know, they secured it beforehand so that they could kind of celebrate together. And they're feasting. Like, this is a celebration. Like, if you know nothing about Jewish history and the feasts, man, we could learn some stuff. Like, these guys, like, they set aside money, like, the best wine, the best food. Like, they are party animals, these guys. But in the name of Jesus. See, that's a little different from the world, right? Like, it's in the name of Jesus, and in many cases, celebrating what God would do. And to some degree, we see that even in the Passover, where they're feasting together over this celebration that would point forward to what Jesus Christ would do. And these guys, they're coming in to celebrate with Jesus, who had tried, really, in some ways, tirelessly to tell them what was to come, that he in fact was the lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world, that he was the lamb, the Passover lamb that they were about to celebrate in symbolic gesture. He was about to undergo this for real. But in the midst of the joy and the feasting, then Jesus, how many of you know Jesus was provocative at times? Like, in the middle of the camaraderie and the friendships and the feasting and the fun, and all of a sudden Jesus is like, one of you going to betray me. I can imagine, honestly, in that moment, and really such was, if you read the story there in John 13, everybody's like, what did he just say? Like, you want to talk about awkward moments. Like we're all having fun. Hey, one of you is gonna kill me. Like, what are you talking about, dude? And one by one, they were like, is it me? And the next disciple, is it me? And it kind of moved from feasting to grief, like immediately. And it gets all the way down the line. As everyone is concerned, you ever been in a season where it's like you don't even know yourself? Where you're like, Lord, help me to understand my own heart and my own motivations because I don't even know myself. Like you alone know. I think this is that moment where they're like, I don't even know. Like maybe it is me. God, help me. Is it me? And he gets all the way down the line to Judas and he exposes him right in front of the whole group. It's the guy who's dipping the bread into the wine with me right now. I think you could cut the tension in the room with a knife. And honestly, still till yet, no one knew what was even going on. Like that, it was inconceivable to any of the disciples that they themselves, nor literally anyone in the group, would deceive Jesus, let alone fully betray him. And so again, there's this wrestling match. They're confused. They have no idea what's going on. They don't understand what's happening with this one Judas and why Jesus would say this. Here's what I want you to take away this morning. In John chapter 6, verse 64, it says this. It says, Jesus knew from the very beginning the one who would betray him. So before Jesus ever even started his ministry, maybe before he ever fasted in the wilderness, you know, before anything, it says, Jesus knew the one who would betray him. Now, I don't know about you, but I think I would have handled things a little different than Jesus. Like, if from the beginning, I'm like, this guy, this is the guy? This is the guy that's going to throw me to the wolves? Like, I don't want to do this. This is a horrific set of circumstances, and this is the guy that's about to do it? Like, and what's more is, like and all along the way, like, if you didn't know, Judas was actually a thief, like, and this is the guy who's going to be robbing from the ministry funds the whole time? Like, so you're going to experience everything that everybody else does. You're going to be robbing from the ministry the whole time. And when it's all done and said, you're going to betray me? You're going to sell me out for 30 pieces of silver? Listen, I don't know about you, but I got rid of that guy immediately. I'm like, hey, listen, I just pulled him in my office. Judas, hey, listen, bro, like, I've got it on good authority that you're a piece of garbage and you're unredeemable. And it's not going to work out for us here, right? I'm going to have to let you go. This has never happened here. Don't believe the rumors. But Jesus didn't do it. That's the point, right? So for 3 years, listen, guys, for 3 years, Judas served alongside Jesus. Jesus, knowing full well this is the guy. For 3 years, Judas was a part of this interior group of people that got access to the life of Christ like nobody else in all of human history. For 3 years, he got to see this one. Let me just remind you, historically, there was a 400-year intertestament gap where historians will tell us that there wasn't a lot of activity going on. There weren't a lot of, like, and this was the time when you had to go through a priest to get to God anyway, and so it was kind of deemed the silent years. And now Judas, on the heels of the silent year, is pulled into this interior group of 12 people that are literally turning the whole world upside down. And he's watching this man commune with Father God in a way that is literally exceptional and completely outside of his grid of history. He's watching him do miracles and signs and wonders right in front of his eyes. He's watching him heal the sick and raise the dead. How many of you know Jesus wrecked every funeral he was ever a part of? Like, if you're there and Jesus is like slowing down the caravan, you're like, what is Jesus doing right now? We are going to die. And he's like, open up the casket. Judas is right there. And Jesus is like, listen, hey, get up, man. You're not done yet. God has some plans for you. Like, Judas is right there. I mean, how would you respond if you saw that stuff? I mean, everybody who came to Jesus, they're getting healed by him. He's touched them. They're getting completely healed, saved, healed, and delivered. every single one of them that came to him. Judas has a front row ticket to the whole experience. Judas just gets to, he gets to see Jesus speak to the tree, the fig tree. The fig tree withers up and they're like, what? He gets to see Jesus speak to the storm and see the storm literally obey his voice. And in that moment, in at least one of the accounts, they're like, who is this guy? Who is this guy that even the wind and the rain obey him? Judas has a front row ticket to all of this stuff. Jesus, move that down a little bit. Jesus speaks to the bread and the fish and he sees it multiply thousands of times over. Like, what is happening? Who is this man? Judas is standing there when he's like, hey, who do you guys say that I, who do people say that I am? And Peter's like, you are the Son of God. You are the Messiah. He's like, flesh and blood didn't share this with you, but my Father. My Father gave you this revelation. Judas has a seat, a front row ticket to all of this stuff. And what's more is that he didn't just get to see Jesus do it. Now let that sink in for a second. Jesus modeled what it looked like to do the work. And he says to all of his disciples and to the 70 and to the beyond, hey guys, I'm empowering you with the authority of the kingdom. Now go preach the gospel of the kingdom. Tell people that the kingdom is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper. Right? Matthew 10:8. So Jesus would have commissioned Judas with apostolic authority, with the power of the Holy Spirit, to go out and do ministry in his name, knowing full well from the beginning this was the guy. This was the guy that was going to betray him. Now, I don't know about you, but this is a profound revelation and profound insight into the heart of Father God. And I know this morning, and I'm going to try to wrap it up with this, the world's shortest ever charismatic service. I know this morning that there are people that are in here in a couple of different categories. You know, some of you, you've never known this man. You've never known him. And for some of you, you probably feel like you've disqualified yourself. And maybe you even have fear. Like, if I were to come to this man, Jesus, if I were to come to this God, if I were to engage him in the way that I know deep in my spirit that I'm supposed to do so, he is going to beat the skin off of my back. Listen, guys, if he didn't scourge Judas, he ain't gonna scourge you. What did he do with Judas? He gave Judas every opportunity in his entire life from start to finish, over and over again. He was relentless in his pursuit of that man's heart. Gave him opportunities to serve in ways that nobody else got to serve. He was speaking into his life, discipling him, continually coming alongside. I'm sure correcting mindsets and everything, giving him every opportunity. And I'm telling you this morning, God has been giving you every opportunity. Every opportunity. He's been in relentless pursuit of your heart. If he didn't scourge him, he's not going to scourge you. He's waiting there with a door open for you to come through. To get past your fear, there's no reason to fear. He loves you beyond what you could ever imagine. But I know there's also another category of people, you know, and maybe this is the majority of us. How many of you know the Bible says some scary stuff? It says some scary stuff. You have the verse, in fact, you could even throw it up, Chris. You have the verse that talks about, you know, how people prophesied and they did all these amazing things in his name, and yet you get to the very end of it. He says, depart from me, for I never knew you. You think, how is that possible? Well, we just saw how it was possible with Judas. And here's the thing, look at what it says here, look at this. Depart from me. I think this is the part that people miss. You who practice sin. Depart from me, you who practice sin. So what this is talking about are Christians who are living their life. They've gone to church their whole life. Like Judas, if you will, was with Jesus closer than anybody, seeing stuff that everybody, I would long to see the things that Judas saw, be in the places that he was in. These are the people who have gone to church their whole life, but they've never made him king. They've never made him Lord. They're still entangled with sin. Depart from me, those of you who practice sin. See, your eternity is not something to be, it's to be messed with. We're not to, we can't play games with God. Jesus is an all or nothing prospect. Did you know that? I mean, I'm telling you right now, this is so against the culture, so against the grain of what is out there right now. Like, it's an all or nothing prospect. Jesus said, to save your life, you have to die. That's it. That's the way in. There's no other way in. Well, I'll just cut off a foot. No, that's not what he's talking about. Like there is no compromise in the kingdom. Right? There isn't any like, well, I'll just put one foot in and I'll keep the other foot out. No, the Bible says he'll spit you out of his mouth. Like, your eternity is not something to play with, and that sin that you're playing with is not as fun as you might think. It's killing you, and ultimately it will put you in the pit of hell, even if you've been in church your whole life. Amen. The way of God is narrow, and few are those who find it. If that doesn't scare you, if that doesn't put the fear of God in you to get you to a place where you go, God, I want to be baptized all over again. Like, wash the sin of the world off of me. Like, I choose you. There's only one way. You have to die. That's it. And if I want to leave you, and this is what I'm leaving you with, with one thing, this Easter, it's this. If you don't know him, he wants to know you because he knows you. But just like Judas, you have to make the choice. Just being around Christians isn't good enough. Just knowing about him, following him, making sacrifices. Judas left everything to follow Jesus. He quit his job the whole nine. It wasn't enough. And for those of you who have done all those things like Judas, he wants your whole heart. Today's the day of salvation. So, Mary Nell, why don't you go ahead and come forward, and we will land it on that. If you're in one of those two categories this morning, I'm just going to pray. Category number one, you don't know him, you never knew him, but you'd really like to. Category number two, you've walked as a Christian. You've talked like a Christian, but the truth is he never knew you. Because you've been entangled with sin, you've still been the god of your own life, and you've been lying to yourself. That's category number two. If you're in one of those categories, pray with me, okay? In fact, let's just pray out loud. Jesus, would you forgive us for messing around? You said, we have to die. So we hang ourselves on that cross this morning. We lay our lives down. We lift your life up. You are King. You are God. You are Lord. You are Master. I submit myself, spirit, soul, and body, completely into your care. And I wash my hands of the responsibility to lead my own life. In Jesus' name. If you've prayed that prayer with us for the first time this morning ever, and the Bible does admonish us, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Maybe you prayed that prayer with us and you resonate on the inside and you still have some questions. I do want to invite the prayer ministry team. We do want to take a moment with you. If that's you, could you actually just wave at me? I just want to, if you would be so bold as to say hi to me. Okay, even if you're in category number two, these guys will be available for a few minutes to pray for you. If you're in category number one, I want to encourage you. They do have baptisms today at the Multi. You know, following the service in the parking lot, they'll have baptisms. If you've never been baptized ever and you're like, no, I know that I actually need to do that, today would be a great day. Stop by on the way home, grab yourself a change of clothes and a towel, and just plan on doing that today. Just mention my name. Actually, you don't even have to mention my name. Any of the pastors can do it, but I'm Sean, if you don't know me. mentioned my name, would be happy to do it. Father, I bless these people. We thank you for your life that was laid down. You said perfect love looks like this, that a man would lay down his life. And Jesus, we want to step today into your perfect love. We lay down our lives in Jesus' name in reciprocation. This is what you modeled. This is what you showed. And literally, it's what you demand. We lay it down. We take our hands off the wheel. We give you control. We partner with you, Lord, in stewardship of this life, this vineyard that you've entrusted to us. We don't hold too tightly. We hold it openly before you. We say, your will be done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to contact us or would like more information about our church or additional podcasts or resources, please visit us online at harvestwarrensburg.com. We hope to see you soon.